Hello and welcome to the Eating Disorder Therapist podcast. This is a podcast to help you find peace with food and overcome disordered eating. And I'm Harriet Frew, aka the Eating Disorder Therapist. And I'm so excited to share with you all kinds of stories, tips, information and guest interviews to help you on your journey in finding peace with food. So thank you so much for listening today. Now, before we launch in today, and we're going to be thinking about how we can feel good enough, how we can feel good enough deep down in our bones and really understand why many of us don't feel good enough. Quick short advertisement break first. On the outside, you have it all together, you're successful, you seem happy. But what your friends and family don't see is that you're living in the vicious cycle of bulimia. You know that something needs to change, your health depends on it, but you just don't know where to start or how to move forward. And that's where Conquering Bulimia comes in. It's a one-of-a-kind online recovery course brought to you by certified eating disorder coaches Sarah Lee and Merit Elizabeth. They know exactly what you're going through. They both recovered from bulimia and have teamed up with leading experts to create an online course with over 70 videos as a powerful addition to your recovery. Conquering Bulimia is private and self-paced, filled with personal stories and coaching tips that will teach you how to change your behaviours for good. It will challenge and inspire you, and it's affordable, offered at an incredible discount of over 60% of the cost of one-on-one coaching. Break free from bulimia on your terms and start living the life of peace you deserve at conqueringbulimia.com. Okay, so let's talk today a bit about how we can change our core beliefs. So before we talk about how to do this, let's define what do we mean by core beliefs. So a core belief, from my point of view, is just really how we feel about ourselves deep down. So it's often quite unconscious, you know, how you feel deep within your body, really, that kind of knowing that you have about yourself. And it's the inner barometer of your worth and will really impact how you show up in the world. So typical core beliefs can be things like, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, maybe I'm unlovable, I'm unlikable, I'm undeserving of good things. Now, if you have core beliefs like this that are, you know, quite disempowering, not basically making you feel worthy, etc., you can see how these are going to impact almost every area of your life. You know, if you're not feeling good enough at work, you're not going to put yourself forward for promotion, you're probably often going to be overlooked by other people, maybe you kind of keep your ideas to yourself, you don't think that you have a voice, etc., etc. If you don't feel good enough in relationships, you won't feel that you can assert your needs or set your boundaries or really stand up for yourself again or express your feelings really openly. Again, you'll probably hold a lot of that inside. So multiple areas of life, if you're not feeling good enough as well, it may prevent you from pursuing hobbies or things that you might want to try or dreams that you want to pursue, because you'll almost write yourself off before you even get started. Now, if you don't know what your core beliefs are, a useful way to try and define what your core beliefs are is to do some questioning, okay? And this is a bit like peeling back the layers of the onion bit by bit to really get to what the core belief is underneath. So to do this, let me give you an example. What you could do is think about maybe a rule or something that you feel you have to follow every day to be okay and to feel worthy. So it might be something like, I have to be a certain weight, or I have to be a certain clothes size. It might be, I have to not eat these foods. I have to keep my calories within a certain limit, okay? So obviously I'm using examples here that are very much ones that people in the disordered eating disorders space may relate to. So then what you do, you identify what that is. So it might be, I have to be X weight, I have to be X clothes size, I have to eat this number of calories per day. And then you ask yourself the question, so what does this mean to you? So you might think about this, you might journal on this, and you might say something like, you know, achieving a certain weight means that I look better, people take more notice of me, they compliment me, I think my body feels better, and maybe I'm protected from hurtful comments. Now, everyone is going to be slightly different in terms of what that's the initial statement means to them. So I'm just giving an example here. But I guess what's really helpful is for you to just journal out or speak out what your statement means to you. There's no right or wrong here, but it can be quite revealing and it helps almost peel back the first layer of that onion. Okay, so you've identified that maybe being a certain weight, sticking to a certain number of calories, it makes you feel better. You know, perhaps you feel more validated, perhaps you feel better in your body and you feel protected from hurtful comments. So then you would ask again, so what does this mean to you? So it might be something like, well, if I'm smaller, I feel I'm more acceptable, I'm more liked, I'm more validated. And you might say as well, well, if I'm not smaller, I feel I'm ignored, I'm greedy, I'm overindulgent maybe. And, you know, maybe this feels very true to you as well, because maybe in the past you have some objective evidence where you were bullied or people were unkind to you in relation to your appearance or your weight, and you have got those memories kind of very strongly embedded inside you, in your psyche really, you know. So it very much feels, you know, that if your body is not in that smaller place, perhaps you really feel a bit more kind of vulnerable and exposed, that people are not going to be kind to you, etc. So then you say again, so what does this mean to you? So you might then say something like, external validation and greater acceptance from others means that I'm okay, I'm part of the tribe, I'm more accepted, I'm more liked. And you might say something as well, like, you know, if my body isn't smaller, people will comment with unkind comments, or they might ignore me, I don't feel liked and accepted. Okay, so again, you're kind of peeling back the layers of the onion and trying to understand what goes on in your mind, you know, when you are addressing all these things. Okay, and then you might say to you again, so what does this mean to you? So when you start to really peel back the layers of the onion, and you do this enough times, you start to get to your core beliefs. So what might come up for you then is things like, you know, maybe I'm not good enough, I'm unlovable, I'm undeserving of good things, I'm unlikable. Okay, so what you're doing is you're peeling back the layers of the onion to get to the core. And you might find that you have more than one core belief. You know, there's no right or wrong here. You might have several. And in some areas of your life, your core beliefs may be a bit better. You know, you may feel, I am kind of good enough in this part of my life, but you may not feel it in others. Or you might feel globally in all areas that you're not really good enough. Okay, so it's really just helpful just to try and understand your core beliefs, to make sense of them, to be able to kind of say them out loud. That's the kind of first step, really, just to acknowledging that, I guess, underneath this eating disorder, there is more to it. It's not really just all about weight and shape and calories. It's about deep down, on some level, not feeling good enough, and the following the rules, maintaining the eating disorder behaviors in some ways are making you feel safer. It's like a kind of life raft. It's making you feel glimmers of feeling good enough, even though, of course, we know that doesn't really, really work. Okay, so once you've identified your core beliefs, you know, just write them down and see what's come up for you. And then what you can begin to do next is begin to explore why you have these core beliefs. So coming from a compassion-focused therapy approach, when we look at this, we think about a baby coming into the world. And the baby, when a baby is born, a baby is bold and brazen and communicates their needs openly. Okay, so what we can take from this is actually, when you came into the world, you probably did feel good enough, at least initially. Then, of course, what happens for all of us, we grow up, we're conditioned by our family, by our school, by the culture. And it's so easy to go off track and not feel good enough. And it's so easy to feel, well, I'm kind of worthy, I'm good enough if I meet certain conditions. Now, even if you haven't experienced what we perceive as more conventional trauma, you know, for many people listening, they may have experienced kind of more like what I call the big T traumas, where you might have experienced kind of abuse or neglect, you know, something that really, really had a strong impact on your early life. Or maybe as well, you may have had what we call more the small T traumas, where your emotional needs just weren't met. You know, where you came from perhaps a loving family, where you felt your physical needs were met and that you were very loved, but your emotional needs weren't met. And I think this is very, very common. As I talk about a lot on this podcast, that, you know, I think previous generations are quite traumatized. Mental health was not a thing. People were generally doing the best that they could at the time, but they didn't really have much understanding of all these kind of things. So it's very typical, I think, in British culture and other kind of, you know, cultures in the Western world, that you may have had your physical needs met, you may have known that you were loved, but you may have not had your emotional needs met. And for whatever reason then, because you weren't met and validated and someone wasn't really connecting with you on your emotionally on a deep level, you felt that you weren't good enough. You started to form that belief about yourself. So what can be quite helpful is to draw out a timeline of your life and think about, you know, from when you're a little baby coming into the world, think about all the significant events that may have had an impact on your worth. Look at memories, situations, anything that may have impacted you, you know, in your family, in your school, in the culture, different transitions that happened to you, different losses that happened to you. Just have a look at all of these things, okay? And I think what's really important as well is we can really do this with compassion for our caregivers. It's not about getting into a place of being very, very blaming, and you may feel like, well, I just don't want to do that. I don't want to kind of think negative things about my family, etc. But it's an important part of the process to really understand, you know, why you feel how you feel, okay? And I think we can simultaneously really have compassion for our family or our, you know, people at school or whoever it was that may have contributed to you not feeling good enough. And at the same time, we can really honor ourselves and appreciate where our needs weren't met. So you can have those two things simultaneously. So once you have your timeline, you can start to be much more compassionate and aware towards yourself. You can recognize, goodness me, I've been through these things. Perhaps, of course, I can begin to understand why I don't feel good enough. And that itself is a powerful step towards change. You know, you can start to like look at yourself as the adult, looking at yourself as a little child and all the things that you went through, and just having a lot of compassion and kindness for yourself. And when you do this, you can see why you came to the conclusion that you weren't good enough. And you can also begin to start to look at the situation from a different perspective. Now, I know for me, I talked about this on the podcast before, but you know, my relationship with my dad particularly was quite significant in how I felt about myself, because growing up, I really, really loved my dad, you know, love my dad now, and I had him on a pedestal. But his expectations for me were very sort of rigid, and for me, they weren't aligned with my hopes or my dreams or my strengths. He had a very clear vision for me for my life. Now, I felt so caught because I desperately wanted his approval and validation. I desperately wanted to feel loved and accepted. And my self-worth was so dependent on his approval from outside, you know, him kind of getting on board with me. So when I went against the grain, when I kind of didn't stay on the farm, when I went off to university, going off and doing that, although I kind of knew in my heart that it was the right thing for me to do, it led me to a lot of sort of internal torture, because although I realized deep down I really needed to do this, my core belief was absolutely, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy or deserving of my dreams, I'm not acceptable, I'm a bad person. So the eating disorder for me very much helped me block and numb that inner conflict. It distracted me from this pain and offered a temporary fix to feeling a sense of control and accomplishment, which quickly spiraled wildly out of control with bulimia. It wasn't really a sustainable strategy, but in the short term, it offered safety and a way to grab a glimmer of self-worth through trying to be smaller. So once you have insight and understanding, now sadly, we can't just flick a switch and think differently, but we can begin to change our relationship with the past. We can begin to go to the roots of the issue. And we can begin to just acknowledge, maybe for the first time, the wounds or the trauma we experienced and understand, you know, these things that I went through, it wasn't really my fault. I was a child. I was doing the best I could. And maybe my parents or my school, you know, school friends or whatever, my teachers, whoever it was in your life that may have contributed to you feeling not good enough, they may be doing the best they could at the time as well. But ultimately, if you look back at yourself as a little child, you can recognize you are infinitely good enough, worthy and lovable, even if you don't feel it. So my dad would often tell me, you know, you're incompetent, you've let me down. And that was because he had been told that a lot by people in his life. You know, he was just repeating history in a very unconscious way. So for a long time for me, I really took that on board. It was deeply internalized and I really felt very, very worthless. I very much felt I'm incompetent, I'm a letdown. But Through therapy and even beginning to question this and look at things differently, even if I didn't believe it to begin with, it was the starting point of change. And I realised actually that his point of view was simply a point of view. It was not a fact. It was a lot about his wounding. And my dad absolutely loves me, but his perspective on the world was largely influenced by his own unprocessed and very deep traumas that he'd been through. So he was absolutely doing the best he could, but it was not ultimately helpful or supportive of me, even though it may have been well-intended. So building self-worth and starting to feel good enough actually starts with awareness, understanding your story, acknowledging family trauma and things that have gone on, getting clear about the things that have influenced you. Because I know for me, when I could start to understand my story, my family story, the generational trauma, I could take a step back and begin to realise why I felt the way I did. Now, of course, as well, when we start to kind of have these sort of breakthroughs, these acknowledgements, it doesn't change how we feel immediately because a lot of our feelings are held in the body. So I know for me, it took time in therapy to talk about things, to process, to release feelings. I remember crying a lot in therapy. I remember crying in Australia with my best friend when we were talking about some of these things, you know, just to really express these things for the first time, to get in touch with my own truth again. And this was a messy and imperfect process. And I actually felt worse before I felt better, you know, because there's still a lot of conflict. I couldn't just suddenly turn off that need to have the approval from my dad. I couldn't just suddenly tune into my inner voice. It was a messy, imperfect process. Now, I know a pivotal point for me was writing a letter to my dad when I was in Australia. I really expressed my truth for the very first time. Now, that act of writing alone was powerful for me. It was the first time in many years that I'd stepped into taking back my power again. Now, I want to say as well for anyone listening, this isn't the right necessarily kind of course of action for everybody. Sometimes I will say to my clients as well, maybe write a letter not to send, because sometimes you might just want to write that letter so you can get all the feelings out. But sometimes it's not always the most helpful thing to send the letter. And sometimes maybe your parent or the person that you want to contact isn't even around anymore. But that doesn't matter. Now, what was really helpful for me is my dad did respond. But he didn't apologise, actually, and he didn't really understand my point of view at all, actually. However, when I received his letter back, I did recognise in a way that I could just see when he had the words on the paper, I could just really see how his perspective was very, very, very different from mine, you know, and that was his truth. But I could really start to separate in a way more what was his stuff and what was mine. And for the very first time, I really felt in my bones that so much about what he was saying to me was not really about me, it was about things that he was dealing with this. Now, of course, once we understand this, it's not just skipping off into the land of unicorns and rainbows and suddenly feeling good enough and enlightened, if only it was. It takes time to undo all the unconscious conditioning and to begin to really build new core beliefs of genuinely feeling good enough, lovable. And throughout life as well, the old core beliefs will sometimes be re-triggered and we have to work on these things again. So time for a short advertisement break. I know we talk a lot about food freedom on this podcast and how important it is to take care of yourself mentally and physically as you learn to navigate a culture inundated with toxic messaging. One of the best ways to take care of yourself is through exercise, but I know it can be really hard to find an exercise program that isn't rooted in these toxic messages and doesn't feel triggering. Well, I recently met Katie, the owner of an amazing new exercise company called WeShape. WeShape doesn't focus on calorie counting, tracking, how much you work out, or making you feel bad about your body to get you motivated. Instead, they create a customized exercise routine for you that helps you connect with and care for your body rather than feeling pressure to change it. They help you learn to set intentions that come from a place of self-care rather than self-judgment. And they support you every step of the way with an amazing community and live coaching so you can make exercise a self-care practice that helps you feel better in your body and about your body. Plus, they're giving listeners of the show the chance to try it out for 2 full weeks for free. Just head on over to weshape.com/freedom or check out the link in the show notes to get started today. So how can we begin to feel good enough? Now, I know for myself in my journey with healing and starting to really, internalize that feeling of being good enough and to separate much more from my dad and the need for his approval, I had to begin to protect myself a bit more from his influence. So this was having boundaries, actually, you know, really setting clear boundaries in terms of perhaps how much time I was going to spend around him, the conversations I was prepared to have, and just to really do that kind of mental almost protection of realizing actually that he may not change, he may continue to have a certain worldview, but actually I can start to look at this in a different way and realize this is about him, it's not so much about me. I could also really surround myself with people who do love and accept me, okay? So really be investing in those relationships where there's that genuine acceptance, where people really want to listen and encourage and support and generally kind of are your cheerleaders. And when we surround ourselves with people like this as well, it starts to change the story, because there's then that physical evidence of being good enough and we get that co-regulation benefit. You know, when we're around other people who are supportive and kind and uplifting and encouraging, they reflect back to us, you know, our qualities and our strengths, and we can start to then internalize that ourselves. Then to shift our core beliefs, it's a very gradual and incremental process. It takes time and it's about starting to look at the world in a different way. So previously, you may have heard me talk about Christopher Fairbairn and his kind of eating disorder sunglasses. Sorry, voice has gone a bit croaky there, where he talks about when you have your eating disorder sunglasses on, you're looking at the world through quite a distorted lens. You know, you're kind of looking at all through that disordered eating, disordered body image kind of interpretation. So when you're not feeling good enough, you're looking at the world through your I'm not good enough sunglasses. And then you're looking for evidence of this every day. So when you get up in the morning, you'll be looking for evidence for why you're not good enough. You may be berating yourself for rules you're not following. You may be comparing yourself to others, and you'll be in the habit of just doing that all the time. So you're almost unconsciously collecting information, using that confirmation bias almost, doing it over and over again, and often quite unconsciously. Now, we all do this with all kinds of things. And as you may or may not be aware, I have a red mini car. So before I had a red mini, did I really notice other minis? Not really. Now I see blimmin' red minis everywhere. Okay, now the red minis were there before, but I just wasn't tuned into them. Okay, so now I'm much more tuned into them. Okay, and that's quite a neutral, you know, looking at mini sunglasses or whatever. That's quite neutral, isn't it? In a way, I get a kind of boost probably seeing other minis around. But we all have a slightly distorted view of reality. We are all going around collecting information to support whatever sort of distorted view it is that we are looking at the world. Okay, so what we need to start doing is starting to look for the evidence that we are good enough, okay? And evidence for being good enough and starting to kind of collect that evidence, almost starting to kind of feel in the body that we're good enough and to build a bank of this. So we've kind of start to really build that kind of internal memory, that internal reference point of just really starting to know deeper down that we are good enough. And this is when we're starting to validate ourselves, okay? We are not reliant on anyone else to tell us whether we're good enough or not, because in a way, although there's great benefit and it's really, really helpful to have other people in our lives who support, uplift, encourage, really cheer us on, ultimately, we are the only ones inside our heads, and we are the ones in a way that need to really learn to validate ourselves and build that real core of good enough belief. Because as well, that is then there 24/7 when we're reliant on an external validation. You know, it's a bit like buses. One day several buses may come at once, another day you may not have any buses coming at all. So when you're really reliant on that external validation, then it can be a bit precarious, because of you could get lots one day, you could get not much another day, and also you may get someone's quite subjective opinion kind of into your life, and that may not be very much aligned with where you're going and the things that are important to you. So although it's so important to have people in our lives that encourage us, that support us, that can offer us wisdom, fundamentally we really need to get in our own lanes and know ourselves and start to really value ourselves in terms of what is good enough. And I'll just give you an example from my life. Like, I think there's a lot of perhaps pressure you know, in the social media world, to value oneself, you know, if you're a coach or a therapist or something, you know, to really value oneself in terms of like your kind of likes or your podcast listens or how many people are sharing your stuff, etc., etc., etc. And I think that can be a very seductive road to go down sometimes, and you can very easily fall into that trap. Now, I know for myself, I need to always ensure that I am motivated to do this work by the desire to help people, by the desire to sort of spread powerful messages, by the desire to really, you know, bring about a kind of, I'll add my own bit, I guess, to the collective consciousness of change in terms of supporting people around eating disorder recovery. That is fundamentally kind of my aim in doing all of this. But it can be easy, couldn't it, to get very sidetracked and think, well, how many listens have I had on this episode or that episode? And to get very validated by the external, when actually it's really important to be, well, it's really important for me to know that I'm being sort of spurred on by my inner kind of desires and what's important to me, and for me to validate myself on being good enough, okay? You know, that I just know that I'm good enough by turning up and just being here, and whether I record a podcast and, you know, whether I pour my heart into it and my, you know, into the content, that is my kind of barometer of whether I'm being good enough, not how many likes or how many shares or how many people download the episode. So I think, you know, we can all really be vulnerable to kind of getting sidetracked, but that internal reference point of feeling good enough is the one that's really important to work on. So what's really helpful with this as well is you will be likely, if you're not feeling good enough, you're unconsciously, minute by minute, probably collecting evidence over the course of the day of not feeling good enough. So what you need to do is be intentional to start to create feelings of being more good enough, okay? So you might need to set reminders on your phone to realign your focus. You might need to play music that triggers your more I'm good enough feelings. You might need to really talk regularly to friends who uplift you. You might need to do activities or hobbies that really bring joy and real kind of like happiness and excitement. You know, not that you're doing it for any likes or validation, that you're doing it because you're in the flow and it really brings you a lot of peace and happiness. So the more you can regularly kind of reset yourself throughout the day to be tapping into the feelings of feeling good enough, you start to build that bank, and over time it becomes much more your kind of normal, okay? So I know for myself, I will often start my day with journaling, with intentions for how I want to be sort of thinking and feeling. I'll be quite conscious about how I set my day up. I will then make sure I have regular breaks so I can pause and tune in to how I'm thinking and feeling. I will make sure that I practice lots of self-care, that I will take rest, that I will fuel myself regularly. I'll make sure that I'm touching base with people I care about. I'll make sure that I have a good transition from work to the kind of evening time where I want to be more self-soothed and relaxed. You know, I'll play music, or I'll listen to a podcast, or I'll do something like go for a short walk in nature. I'll do something that helps me with that transition. And actually, when I'm doing all these things in a much more intentional and conscious way, I'm building up that bank of evidence as well of feeling good enough, because I'm really showing up for myself then. I'm taking care of myself. I'm prioritizing myself. It's very much coming from that kind of internal kind of locus, really, and starting to, you know, really feel in my bones, I am enough. Now, what's really important as well when you're doing all of this is you need to have boundaries with people in your life who do derail you, who bring a lot of negative energy. You do need as well to really slow down. I think when we're spinning around on the hamster's wheel of life so fast, we don't have chance to really tune into ourselves, our emotions, how we're doing. So notice where you're feeling that you should do something. Lean into what personally works for you rather than doing what you feel that the world expects you to do all the time. Now, it's a journey, it takes time. Be curious and compassionate with yourself. Now, I want to say to you, it's absolutely possible though. I can remember in a time in my life where I felt my self-esteem was absolutely on the floor. I had no concept of what it meant to love yourself, to feel good enough. I really did not. And today I feel in a completely different place. And it's been a journey, but it is so worth it. And it makes every day just so much more have a peaceful, enjoyable and present experience. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you're not following me already on Instagram, do seek me out, @theeatingdisordertherapist_. For further support with your relationship with food, do go to theeatingdisordertherapist.co.uk. You may be interested in my online courses if you are a professional, eating disorders and body image. And you may be interested if you want to heal your relationship with food in my 10 Steps to Intuitive Eating or my Breaking Free from Bulimia course. All the notes, all the links in the way are in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have not already, please rate and review this podcast and follow, as it really helps it reach so many more listeners. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to sharing another podcast episode with you very soon.